All right, we're up to actually the second commission given, but it's in the book of Mark. And so if you would turn to Mark chapter 16, if your Bible happens to start chapter 16 on one page, on the left page, you'll need to turn back. We will read just the tail end of 15 to kind of answer a question here. And I'll pose you a question. And don't feel like, answer a question. I mean, there's stuff, I've read these things and and I'm just reading it, and I'm still finding stuff. So I'm going to ask you one question right now. Let me just read verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. These ladies were going where?
To the tomb.
To the tomb. How do they know where it was at? I mean, it's not like going to a cemetery that we have and going around looking for the name of Jesus Christ on there and finding the dates.
Did they not know where they put him in the tomb at whenever he was taken off the cross? I mean,
where'd the apostles go? They scattered and took off. But let's read. We'll start in verse 42 of chapter 15. Because this is just something that we think about. Well, how'd they know where he was buried at? Because this guy we're going to read about. And now when the eve was come, because it was what? The preparation. That is, the day before the Sabbath. When was Jesus crucified? The day before the Sabbath. Which Sabbath? Okay. They had a weekly Sabbath. Okay. And it run from sundown to sundown. Okay? But this isn't the weekly Sabbath. This is the day before Passover. This is what's considered one of the high Sabbaths. They had three of them. They had the Feast of Passover, they had the Feast of Pentecost, and they had the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? So these are the three high Sabbaths. Okay? So Jesus died, was crucified, on the preparation day of the Sabbath, the Passover. Okay. Correct. Okay? So now Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. He wanted him to give him the body of Jesus because, I mean, they couldn't leave him on the cross. And you know, they're not supposed to leave dead people on the cross during the Sabbath. So they had to get him down. They had to get all this stuff done before sunset. Okay? And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone into the door of the sepulchre. And here we are. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joses, beheld where he was laid. Okay, that's the only reason they knew where he was at. So I'm going to assume at this point, probably the apostles didn't know where he was at. But these ladies who had came with him from Galilee were with Joseph of Arimathea and saw where he was laid. So they knew where he was at. I got another question, but we're going to read on in just a little bit. Let's read. And when the Sabbath was passed, which Sabbath?
Now,
this is where we have to be careful. Now, okay, how long was Jesus going to be in the grave? 3 days and three nights. Okay? As we read this, let's go ahead and read it. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week. Okay? There's one indication. It's not the high Sabbath now. It's the weekly Sabbath. Okay? So he was crucified on the preparation day of the high Sabbath of Passover. Okay? The next day is the Sabbath, so they did nothing. They couldn't do anything by law.
Right.
Okay? So then they had a day or so, I think it's a day, where they could go obtain these spices and do the stuff that they wanted to anoint him with. Because now the next Sabbath is coming, which is the weekly Sabbath, and that day they had to rest also. They couldn't go out and do anything. And the reason that we know that it's that one, because 3 days had to go by for Jesus to have resurrected. Okay? So, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Now, slightly different. It didn't match Luke at the rising of the sun. Did not match John, where it said it was still dark. And we're going to get to that. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, these are very similar to what we've already read. Okay? One says they came while it was still dark. Another says they came very early in the morning. But either way, the stone was rolled away. They come up to it. What don't they see? What should they... Okay, now, if this stuff is happening, then again, this to me, all of it's important. But what I'm trying to focus on is obviously the commissions. But what have they not seen in Mark, Luke, and John yet? When they get there, besides Jesus. We're going to address that a little bit right here, but mainly next week. They saw some angels, right? They saw the empty tomb. In a passing of time, Mary saw Jesus, thought he was the gardener.
There's supposed to be a gardener.
Exactly. Where are the guards at?
No, they took off with you. That's some
The guards are gone. So how much time has gone by before these ladies come? And most likely this isn't their first visit. Okay? Now remember, it's from sundown to sundown, the Sabbath. So at sundown on the Sabbath, which is I think 6 o'clock. I'd have to check. Don't hold me on that. But I think it's 6 o'clock. From then on, all night long, what we consider night, is their next day, they could have been coming. Okay? So that's why when I read in John, it was yet dark. Not early in the morning, not at the rising sun, but yet dark. There's some variations in here, and that helps us kind of set up a timeline. So there's no guards. And Matthew will address that. So then you will see that when these ladies came, in Mark, Luke, and John, there's a pretty significant amount of time has gone by. Okay. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. Okay? Slight difference. In the other versions, they had two sitting, one at the head, one at the foot. And in John, I believe they were standing. Okay? Now, Mark just may have mentioned one of them. There could be two of them, but he just mentions the one sitting. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter." Who did Mary go in the other books in Luke and John? Who did Mary go tell? Mary Magdalene. She went to Peter. "And Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him, and he said, as he said unto you." Okay. As he said unto you. Turn back to chapter 14. Now let's look at verse 28. He told them what he was going to do. In verse 28 of chapter 14, "But after I am risen, I go before you into Galilee." He told them where he was going to go. Okay? But when we read in Luke and John, Jerusalem, 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 they're in Jerusalem, they're in Jerusalem, and at the end of those things, he tells them to stay in Jerusalem. But in Mark, we see that he told them he was going to meet them back in Galilee. Okay? And it took a little time in these other, in Luke and John, for him to be there where they went fishing. And that's where he met up with them on the shore. Okay? But he told them ahead of time that's where he was going to go. So Peter, and go to Galilee. And in verse 8, "And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." They didn't say anything. Mark, this is why there is an obvious time element difference between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on these commissions. Okay? They went out and said nothing to anyone. Okay? No, that's it. That's the end of it. Okay? Seriously. That's the end of it. Because you may find a note in your Bible, or if you read the NIV or the New American Standard or anything else, they say that verses 9 through 20 don't belong in the Bible. Because of a number of reasons. But one of the greatest ones they come up with is because it's not in some of the oldest manuscripts. Well, you're going to find that my reason is circular, and it has to be circular reasoning. Because if you believe in the deity of Christ, if you believe in the sovereignty of God and what He does and how He sovereignly kept His Word pure and whole, if it's in your King James Bible, then it's supposed to be there. Okay? So, forget all the other debates about, well, it's not in some of the oldest manuscripts. Or, for this reason or this reason, I'm not going to go into those. I don't have time for that. But God put it in there. It's in your King James Bible, so it's supposed to be there. Okay? So now, verses 9 through 20 is kind of a recap of some of the events that just took place. Okay?
Why are they saying that they shouldn't be there?
Because in some of the oldest manuscripts, verses 9 through 20 is not there. And there is a study I have back in an appendix that talks about all these different reasons. And you know what? I can study all that. But all I know is that I believe that my King James Bible is God's perfectly preserved word in my English language. And it's in here. Therefore, it's supposed to be there.
I never knew that until you said that. The passage from verse 9 to the end is not found in two of the most ancient manuscripts.
Yep. So, a lot of places, in some of those old ones, you know, and they'll tell you. And basically every Bible you go to will tell you that.
Well, that's where everyone has to make a decision on, is this the authority of God?
That's right.
That's
right. Because if that's the case, then there's no commission given in Mark. And because the commission doesn't follow until verses 9 through 20.
Right.
So, just the fact that it's there in my King James Bible, which is God's perfectly preserved word in the English language, is proof enough for me. But now in verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Okay. Now the last verse that we read prior in verse 8 said they went and told no one. Okay. We know that in Mark, in Luke and John, that after some doubting and some contemplating that she did, angels appeared to her, because the first time she didn't say anything. And then we know later on that Jesus actually appeared to her and He told her, "Don't touch me." So I'm thinking, you see a progression of time, and we're catching little bits and pieces as we go through this verses 9 through 20 that are not in, they're not just one thing after another. They are little tidbits, but there is some time between them. Okay? But the point that I wanted to point out was verse 11. And they, I'm going to say Peter and the disciples, when they heard that He was alive, and He had been seen of her, did they go to Galilee where He told them He was going to meet them? No. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. In the other versions, when Jesus came in and showed Himself, and they were scared to death, they still didn't believe it. I'm not going to think anything less of these people, because I ain't no different than them. I probably wouldn't have believed it either. After that, okay, now we read this last week in Luke. After that, He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked, went into the country. Who was that? That was probably the two that were on the road to Emmaus. Remember, he joined up with them, and he was listening to them, and he started asking them questions. They asked him to come in and have dinner with them. They went and had dinner, and when he broke bread, he opened their eyes, and they saw who he was. They went back to Jerusalem that very night and told the apostles and them that were with them that they had seen him, and he had appeared to them, and what happened? And they didn't believe him. Okay? And here it is again. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they of them. Afterwards, go ahead.
That'd be tough.
Yeah.
Looks like you, we're not. We look back.
Oh, 24.
How can they not believe? But
Hindsight's 20/20.
But it's the same for us because, if we're not in our word and we're not doing right, we're not living the way we should, and we know Jesus is coming again.
Are we out just knocking the doors down, sharing the gospel, the grace of God with people? Maybe that's because we don't care so much. We're in, we got our ticket punched, so we don't have to worry about it. But, so in a sense, I'm not saying I don't believe, but the zeal's not there.
The faith. That's what they're different from belief and faith.
So. Yeah. So when I look at these, I always try to think of these great men and Abraham and all this stuff that was going on and Adam and Eve, man, what a bunch of idiots. Look, they ruined it for us.
Didn't Noah only win like 4 people in like 120 years? He preached like 120 years and only 4 were saved.
Yeah, it was him, his wife, his sons, and their wives. So it was 8 people in the boat.
But before.
I don't know how many people he preached unto that actually believed his...
There wasn't a whole lot.
So, you just wiped out a whole world of people with the flood. So I try not to put myself above them thinking that I would have done anything different.
Right.
Because...
Granted, Jesus told them, and they had no understanding.
We might have done a lot less. They had to give up everything they had to follow him. How many of us would be,
would have done that?
We don't do that.
Yeah. A homeless guy ain't got no problem giving up everything he's got. He's got nothing to give up.
Yeah.
And rich is a relative term. A homeless guy would think that the guy who's got the buggy with all the goods in it still walking around, he's rich, look at him, he's got all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, I may think you're rich, or you may think I'm rich, and then you go to the Donald Trumps, and you're going up. Rich is a relative term. There's people who say that who've got the fancy cars, got the fancy houses, and all the diamond rings and stuff. They're in debt right to here. It's just a relative term. So, verse 14, first word afterwards, again showing a passage of time. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. Now this is slightly different from the other version. One of the other versions where it says he appeared to the 11 and them that were with them. This is the 11.
They're all dead.
Again, I don't know. This is where I kind of wondered. Do they sometimes use that phrase the 11 as a generic term of apostles, or does it mean inclusively that all 11 of them were there? Because what happened the first time Jesus appeared unto the quote unquote the 11. Who wasn't there?
Thomas
wasn't there. And that was when, if I'm not mistaken, that was when those guys came back from Emmaus. He wasn't there. So afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Okay? So we know that there was at least 2 or 3 times that they had been told that Jesus has risen from the dead. An angel told me this. And then Mary and them saw him and reported it, and they still didn't believe. The two that went to Emmaus saw him and came back and reported it, and they still didn't believe him. Thomas was told by some of the 11 that he was there. And he said, unless I stick my finger in the hole of his hand, I'm not going to believe it. A lot of unbelief going on. And I don't know if raising people coming back from the dead was something that happened a lot back then or not. I kind of doubt it. But there's still a lot of unbelief. And verse 15, this is where we're coming to the commission given. And he said unto them, and again now, how far into the 40 days that he saw them is this? Not exactly sure, but we're in Luke, he appeared to them the evening of his resurrection. I believe this is sometime after that. And notice that the commission was given to the 11. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, now how is that different from the other one? How is that different from, say, Luke or John? Go back to Jerusalem and stay there. Okay? And it was Jerusalem first, and then that, even Matthew 10 says that. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. There was a time frame that he has set up when they are to be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, and then when they're supposed to go out to the rest of the world. And we're going to see some of that here. But the message is still very much the same. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, this is baptism of repentance. It's the same thing that John the Baptist came preaching, the same thing that Jesus came preaching, the same message that he gave the 12 to go out and preach. And this is the same message. There's some circumstances that are changing, but the same message. And this is where you get an idea of when this commission, here with this next verse or two, where this commission is supposed to be done. Because, again, you go to churches all around the world and they'll have either Matthew 28 or Mark 16 up on their board in a map showing them all the places that they're going fulfilling this commission. Okay? I have several friends on mission trips right now to Haiti. And you go to the Dominican Republic, and this is us. This is us fulfilling the commission.
But they said there's more missionaries coming into America now that are actually been leaving.
Really?
I thought that was pretty interesting. Used to be there was more missionaries leaving.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder who they're from and what they're teaching.
Yeah.
That's what probably scares me the most. But it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay? Now, is it these signs are going to follow the 11? Or is it these signs are going to follow them that believe? Okay? It's the ones that believe. So, upon believing and being baptized, they will be doing these signs and wonders. Because the signs were for the Jews. It was a sign to show them what was taking place in them. The times. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now I know in Jesus' ministry, he was doing some signs. And I know that at times he gave his apostles the power to go out and do things. But as an outpouring of his spirit upon just belief, these people being able to go out and do these signs and wonders is to be manifested at a certain time. And let me take you to... Let's make a statement. Let me look at this. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Well, who's just going to walk up and grab a jar of poison and chug it? You know. Also, there's some mentally unstable people out there. But when will it be an issue for men to have to worry about what they're drinking?
Tribulation.
During the tribulation, because in Revelation chapter 8 verse 11. there's a great star that falls from the sky, and it's called wormwood. And I've heard, I haven't Googled it and searched it, but that I've heard that the scientists have actually named a comet or something that's out in space wormwood. And you can Google that and see if that's true or not, I don't know. But this star is going to fall to the earth, and it's going to poison a third of the water on the earth. You also have the mass plagues of fish dying, the animals dying, the birds dying, these great earthquakes. You know that there's going to be the sewage that's going to be around, the caverns of well, you go around coal mines when go to Yellowstone. We've been there and we saw an elk that had gotten too close into those pits, and the fumes and the water's poisoned. They couldn't drink it. So during the tribulation, these things are going to be manifested. They're really going to be happening a lot. But those who believe can go drink that water that is tainted, and it won't bother them. Okay? But let's go to Joel chapter 2. One of those little books. And I even got to thumb through it and find it sometimes. It's right after Hosea and just before Micah. If that helps you any. It's just going to be about probably four or five books before you get to Matthew. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Joel is a prophetic book about the tribulation. A lot of stuff is going to happen in the end times. But here's this statement. Let's read in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord of the Lord comes." Is that some of this that you see here in 17:18? It's these signs and wonders that are taking place. They're going to speak with new tongues. They'll be able to handle the serpents. And this is where we get these rattlesnake handlers now.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've seen a lot of them dying. You know, first they get them out of the refrigerator. Why is that?
Because they keep moving.
Because they're cold-blooded animals. And they're almost like in hibernation. Okay. Right. But when they do get bit, these guys are still dying. Well, wait a minute. If he's a believer, it says right here he's not supposed to hurt him. They're trying to take a commission that was not given to us at this time and do it, and we can't do it. Hold your spot there in Mark and go to Acts chapter 2. Now we know that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is tells them about the promise of the Father coming to them, that they're to go back to Jerusalem, stay there. And the promise will be given. He's going to pour out His Spirit upon them. Acts chapter 2, it happens. And of course, everybody around there thinks that these guys are drunk, that they've been drinking new wine. And Peter, in verse 14, will start. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord. then it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That what we read in Joel is then again, that's what Peter is speaking about in Acts chapter 2. The same signs and wonders and miracles that are taking place during this commission. This commission is specifically given for during the tribulation. Luke was given for them to get up off their dust right then and get back to the business at hand to do what they were supposed to do. Mark is given to the 11 that during at the start of the tribulation, and that's what Peter thought and was incorrect in his thinking that the tribulation was fixing to happen. Okay? Because during the tribulation, all things in common. That was one of their progress. That was what they were doing. They were coming and laying all their stuff down at the apostles' feet, and they were giving it out as it was needed. Okay?
They were ready to set the kingdom.
They were ready. I mean, it was time. So you see these signs and wonders, and that's just a little indication as to when this commission was to be given out. And so we see that the beginnings of it being fulfilled there in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Obviously, we have the salvation of Paul because of the stoning of Stephen, which was kind of their third strike, was blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So God took the program and suspended it right there. Okay. Now, I've asked this question to a number of people that we've gone out and gone witnessing with. Not the people we're witnessing to, but the people we went with. And this, the sun, the moon, turning to blood, and the pillars of smoke. And I said, you know, I don't see anything in history, in our books, that said that ever happened. So, did this happen? And I don't think it has. It was suspended. And it stopped. And when God is done with this dispensation of grace, He will catch away His body, this program with Israel, and that commission will begin again. And they will go through. There's going to be a, I'm not going to put a time amount on it, but there's going to be a certain amount of time that transpires between the catching away of the body and the beginning of the tribulation. I don't know how much time, but there's going to be a little bit of time. Then that tribulation will start, and this commission will begin again. They will see the signs and the wonders. And who's going to duplicate that? Satan's going to duplicate that. He's going to have the false prophet, the Antichrist. He's going to be here doing those things, and that's the thing that will deceive many. Okay? So, let me see. Anything else I had written?
Now, for us in this period of grace now, Christ calls His church away, and this starts for those that are left behind in this dispensation. It's impossible for them to be saved.
Other passages tell us that God will send a strong delusion upon on man,
right,
and they will believe the lie. There's going to be a lie come out about why all these people just disappeared, where they all go. And He will send a strong delusion upon them that they will believe the lie, and they will not be. It's not going to be like the Left Behind series.
No.
Fun book series to read and kind of neat, but it's not true.
Nothing like
those
it.
People get left behind are just done.
They're done. Yeah.
And so that's why I also believe that there's going to be a time go by where you're going to obviously have more people born and new people coming up and being saved under that commission and back into that kingdom, not associated with us. It's going to be back to repent, be baptized, and do this stuff.
Right.
Let's go ahead and read 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, and then this again, you see a lapse of time, just in these verses. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven, and set on the right hand of God. Now, that's why you know that God is left-handed, because Jesus has been sitting on His right hand for all this time. That's just, you know, a little humor there. But I don't know positively. But I believe that between Christ's resurrection and the time and his final ascension there in Acts chapter 1, he probably went back and forth to heaven a few times. Okay? But this is my personal belief. But here, you know, I'm almost believing that this, again, this little statement you have here in verse 19 is the same one that we're talking about in Acts chapter 1, where he was received up out of their sight, they watched him go away. The angel said, "Why do you stare looking, you know, stand there looking up in heaven? This Jesus whom just left will come in the same way." And they went back to Jerusalem.
This is his final sin.
Yeah, this is his final sin.
Right.
And then verse 20. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Okay. Did they go forth and do that? Well, I know that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And you'll see an occasion where, like, Peter went out to Cornelius. But there was these others that did believe. They went out and went all over the place because of the persecution, for one. And they were kicked out of Rome and all that kind of stuff. So they went all about preaching and teaching. So in some ways, they were doing what that commission was calling to them to do, because it was the time of the tribulation. It started. It just hasn't been fulfilled yet.